بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، عن أبي الوليد عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه قال: بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على السمع والطاعة في العسر واليسر والمنشط والمكره، وعلى أثرة علينا، وعلى ألا ننازع الأمر أهله إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا عندكم من الله تعالى فيه برهان، وعلى أن نقول بالحق أينما كنا لا نخاف في الله لومة لائم. متفق عليه. We are going through the 23rd chapter of the book Riyadu Salihin, titled Al-Amr Bil-Ma'roof Wal-Nahy عن المنكر, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. As we mentioned previously, that this is one of the core obligations upon every single Muslim, and this is something because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the status of this ummah. As Allah says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are the best of the nations who have been raised for people. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And you have been given this status, this high status. Why? Because you people enjoin good and you forbid the evil. And you believe in Allah, Dhul Jalal Ikram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the status of this ummah because of this very action, which is Al-Amr Bil-Ma'roof Wal-Nahy Anil Munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And this is something that is compulsory upon every single Muslim, according to their capacity, according to their power and authority, and according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Basically, bay'ah means that you promise the companion Ridwanullahi al-Jum'ain, they promise the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they promise the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam to do certain things and to refrain from certain things. Because the bay'ah includes both positive and negative. It includes the do's and don'ts. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha nabi, idha ja'aka al-mu'minat. O the Prophet, O Prophet, idha ja'aka al-mu'minat, when the believing women come to you, yubayi'naka, in order to give bay'ah, ala alla yushrikna billah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the mention of all the don'ts. Bay'ah includes do's and don'ts both. So in that particular ayah, Allah has made the mention of all the don'ts. Ala Allah yushrikna billah. They give bay'ah and they promise you that they will never associate partners with Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. Wala yasriqna. They will not steal. Wala yaznina. They will not commit fornication or zina. ولا يأتين ببهتان ولا يقتلن أولادهن ولا يأتين ببهتان يفترينه بين أيديهن وأرجلهن ولا يعصينك. So all don't. So the bay'ah includes not only do's, rather don'ts as well. And this is very important to understand, because nowadays the concept of bay'ah has changed with certain people, and particularly those who claim to be connected with a silsila, with a chain, and particularly amongst the Sufis. They say that we have given the bay'ah to so and so, that we'll do this, 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 this. But what about don't? There is no mention of don't at all. Okay? So it is important that the bay'ah includes both. So companion Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. We find many hadith of the companions Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in who says that we gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu, we promised the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that we'll do this or we don't do this. And when we look at the hadith, different ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we also come to know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to take the promise from different companions in different aspects. So bay'ah is not always on one particular matter. So the bay'ah, for example, Jarir bin Abdullah, previously we mentioned this hadith, Jarir bin Abdullah, radiyallahu ta'ala, he says that
I gave bay'ah to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I promised the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام on one single point, which was النصح لكل مسلم, that I will remain sincere to every single Muslim. This was my promise to Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then he stood by his promise and he fulfilled his promise. When we study the seerah of Jarir bin Abdullah, that great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we come to know that he truly fulfilled his promise that he made to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one single matter only, one single point. And it can be more than one. So in this particular hadith, Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala says that we, meaning not only himself, rather there were other companions as well. We, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we promised the Messenger of Allah alaihi salatu wasallam, promised what? Ala sam'i wa ta'a, that we will hear and we will obey. Meaning, anyone who has authority over us, we have promised the Messenger of Allah that we will listen to them, we'll hear them, and we'll obey them. And obey them whenever it suits us, and disobey them when it does not suit us? No. في السمع على السمع والطاعة في العسر واليس والمنشط والمكره. We made the promise to Messenger of Allah that we will listen and will obey in times of difficulties as well as in times of prosperity. In difficulty as well as in prosperity. والمنشط والمكره. In times of ease and hardship, whatever the circumstances are, we promise that we will listen and we obey those who will have authority over us. وَعَلَىٰ أَثَرَةٍ عَلَيْنَا. And not only this, we'll continue listening and obeying even if they discriminate. Even when they discriminate, when they give others preference over us and they cause the discrimination, we'll still continue listening and obeying them. And also, in addition to this, وَعَلَىٰ أَلَّا نُنَازِعَ الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَهُ. And we also made the promise and we gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we'll not dispute in rule. In rule, we'll not dispute in rule with those who have authority over us. Will not cause any problem. Illa an tarau kufran bawah. Except in one, there is one exception. Illa an tarau kufran bawah. The Prophet ﷺ said, except that you see and you witness a clear cut disbelief and kufr. So if a Muslim ruler says something or he does something that is clear cut kufr, clear kufr, without a doubt. And the Prophet ﷺ also said, عِنْدَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِيهِ بُرْهَانٌ. The kufr, disbelief that is clear, and it is a kind of kufr upon which you have a clear evidence from Allah. You have the evidence from the book of Allah or from the sunnah and the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. Then at that point, you don't have to listen to them. You don't obey them. وَعَلَىٰ أَن نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ أَيْنَمَا كُنَّا لَا نَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And there was another point upon which we promised the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, and we said عَلَىٰ أَن نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ. And this is the point of istidlal, and this is the reason because of which Imam An-Nawawi rahmahullah has quoted this hadith in this chapter. عَلَىٰ أَن نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ. We promise the Messenger of Allah that we will always utter truth. We will always speak the truth. Al-haq, aynama kunna, wherever we are. La nakhafu fillahi lawmata la'im. Will not face and will not bear any kind of fear in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to please Allah dhul jalali quran. Will not have the fear of anyone's reproach. So anyone who criticizes us, anyone who blames us, anyone who calls us with different names, whatever, will always utter the truth. And this is the reason because of which Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted this hadith in this chapter. That as a Muslim, as a believer, we always have to stand by the truth and we must utter the truth. And we should not have the fear of the malama, of the reproach, or anyone's criticism. As Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّونَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Or you believed, if anyone amongst you becomes murtad, they leave the deen, they give up the deen of Islam, they apostate, then they should know, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will replace them with another group of people. Allah will bring more new people, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, that those people will love Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them. And their distinctive quality would be لَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَا أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. That they will be soft towards the believers and they will be harsh on the disbelievers, and they will not have the fear of anyone's criticism. And this is one of the distinctive qualities and the characteristics of the believer. And whatever you understand that it is true, you must speak the truth, and you will not have the fear of anyone's criticism. The next hadith is the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala. Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, he says that the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَثَلُ الْقَائِمِ فِي حُدُودِ اللَّهِ وَالْوَاقِعِ فِيهَا كَمَثَلِ قَوْمٍ اسْتَهَمُوا عَلَى سَفِينَةٍ. The likeness of the one who observes the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, the boundaries of Allah dhul jalal ikram, the one who observes those boundaries, وَالْوَاقِعُ فِيهَا, and the one who transgresses those boundaries and those limits, their likeness is كَمَثَلِ قَوْمٍ, is like those, like that group of people, istahamu عَلَى safina, those who casted a lot and draw, and they decided to all of them to get on board a ship. Now, obviously, according to their draw, some of them would be on the lower deck and some other will be on the upper deck. فَصَارَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَعْلَاهَا وَبَعْضُهُمْ أَسْفَلَهَا. So these people were divided into two groups. Some of them, they were on the lower deck and some others on the upper deck. وَكَانَ الَّذِينَ فِي أَسْفَلِهَا. Obviously, usually those who are on the upper deck, they feel themselves that they are higher in position, in their status, and they are better. But وَكَانَ الَّذِينَ فِي أَسْفَلِهَا إِذَا اسْتَقَوْا مِنَ الْمَاءِ مَرُّوا عَلَى مَنْ فَوْقَهُمْ. Those who are on the lower decker, when they need a water, they went upstairs and they passed by those who were in the upper deck, and they asked them and they said, we need a water. You people, you have a water, clean drinking water. If you were to give us the water, fine. Otherwise, we have no option other than breaking and making some hole in the lower deck. So it is up to you. لو أنا خرقنا في نصيبنا خرقا ولا نؤذي من فوقنا. They say, if you people think that we are causing any kind of trouble to you and we are causing any harm to you by approaching you and asking you for water, if you feel that we are disturbing you, then let us make some hole in the lower deck. And in this case, we will not disturb you. But what would happen? فَإِنْ تَرَكُوهُمْ وَمَا أَرَادُوا هَلَكُوا جَمِيعًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, those who are in the upper deck, if they do not stop them from making hole in the lower deck, what will happen? They will make the hole and the water will come into the ship, and all of them, they will be destroyed. They will drown. وَإِنْ أَخَذُوا عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ نَجَوْا وَنَجَوْا جَمِيعًا. And if they held on their hands and if they stopped them, those who are on the lower deck, they will be saved, and those who are on the upper deck, they will also be saved. And the Prophet ﷺ gave this as an example of this ummah. This whole ummah of the Prophet ﷺ is like a ship. In the ship, you have some people on the upper deck and some on the upper deck and some others on the lower deck. Meaning, within the ummah, you have some who have more knowledge than the others. Some who have more wisdom than the others. Some those who have more authority than the others. Those who have more knowledge, more wisdom, more authority, they have bigger responsibility. They have bigger responsibility of saving themselves and saving the rest as well. If they do not fulfill, their obligation, their responsibility, they are going to destroy themselves and they are going to destroy the whole ship as well. Those who have the authority in knowledge, in power, if they do not fulfill their responsibility and their obligation, they will be destroying not only themselves, they will be destroying the whole ummah. That is why it is said that the mistake of a knowledgeable person is far greater than the mistake of an ordinary person. For example, an ordinary Muslim, obviously we all know that every single Muslim, regardless of their knowledge and age and gender, whatever, every single Muslim has to establish 5 daily prayers. Someone who has sought the knowledge of the deen of Allah, for example, someone has memorized the Quran, someone who understands the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if such person abandons the salah, his mistake will be greater than the one who does not know anything about the deen of Allah. They're just only Muslim. Someone with the knowledge commits zina, steals, cheats, lies, backbites, or does anything wrong, will be seen far greater than the one who is in general, amongst the general masses. So that is why those who have more knowledge, those who have more wisdom, those who have even, those who are bigger in their age as Muslims, they have bigger responsibility. They have bigger obligations. So it is very important for every single Muslim to realize his and her status within the community, within the society, and they must realize and must understand their obligations, their responsibilities. Those who are in authority, for example, those who are part of the management of this masjid, if they do something wrong, it will impact the whole community. The whole community. Whereas one individual amongst the general community, general masses, if he does something similar to the other person, it may not be seen as big. So that is why you, as a Muslim, as a believer, you must always realize your status, your position, your responsibility, your obligation, and you must always bear in mind the rights of others. And you must bear in mind always that if you do something good, definitely it has bigger impact on others. Likewise, if you do something wrong, it will have negative, greater impact on others as well. So this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the situation of this ummah. The next hadith is the hadith of أم المؤمنين أم سلمة هند بنت أبي أمية رضي الله تعالى عنها, who says that the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إنه يستعمل عليكم أمراء فتعرفون وتنكرون. Soon you will have some people appointed on you, some people will be given authority over you, تَعْرِفُونَ وَتُنْكِرُونَ, and you will approve some of them and you will disapprove some of them. فَمَنْ كَرِهَا فَقَدْ بَرِي, whoever dislikes their evil acts, their wrongdoings, whoever dislikes them, فَقَدْ بَرِئَ, he has freed himself from committing a sin. Whoever has disliked, so someone who is an authority, and you can't be, as a Muslim, as a believer, you can't be yes man all the time. You can't be, you know, whatever your boss says, yes, yes. No, it does not befit a believer. You are a believer. And as I mentioned in the previous lesson and the lesson before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you higher status as a ummah because of, not because of your iman, not because of your belief. Because the previous nations, they also had iman. They also had belief in their hearts. Allah has given you authority over, or Allah has given you higher status over the previous nations because of amr bil ma'roof and nahy an munkar, that you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. And there are various levels of enjoining the good and forbidding the evils according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we mentioned last week, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi, whoever sees amongst you an evil, he tries to stop it with his hand, with his power, with his authority. And whoever does not have that authority and that power, then at least he should say something by his tongue in order to stop the evil. And if a person is so weak in his iman and he does not have a courage, he is not brave enough to speak the truth, then at least fa bi qalbi, he must dislike the evil within his heart. So this is what Rasulullah said here, فَمَنْ كَرِهَا فَقَدْ بَرِئَ, whoever dislikes the evil or the wrongdoing of the rulers or those who are in authority, فَقَدْ بَرِئَ, he has freed himself from sinning. And he also said, وَمَنْ أَنْكَرْ فَقَدْ سَلِمْ, and whoever disapproves, whoever openly says that this is wrong, that is wrong, okay, this is against the deen of Allah, this is against the Quran, this is against the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَقَدْ سَلِمْ, he has protected his iman. And this is higher level, as we mentioned again previously, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the weakest iman is that you dislike an evil within your heart, and you do not have the courage to speak up or to reject it, or you do not say anything. And that is the weakest level of iman. And if you do not dislike the evil within your heart, then Rasulullah said, لَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ حَبَّةُ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ iman. After that, you must understand that you have no grain of iman in your heart left. There's no iman left in your heart. Even with weakest iman, with little iman, you will continue disliking the evil and you'll continue disliking the wrongdoing. So he alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَمَنْ كَرِهَ فَقَدْ بَرِئَ, whoever disliked, he has freed himself from sinning. وَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ فَقَدْ سَلِمْ, and whoever disapproves and whoever speaks against it, that he has protected his iman and his Islam. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ رَضِيَ وَتَابَعْ, but the one who is pleased with the evil, the one who is pleased with the wrongdoing, and not only this, وَتَابَعْ, and he follows it, he follows. The one who is an authority, he does something wrong and you just simply accept it and you follow him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the very dangerous situation. This is very dangerous situation. This is something that affects someone's iman. Then the companion Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in, they said, O Messenger of Allah, if we were to face this kind of situation, that those who are in authority, the rulers, they continuously do something wrong, then is it not our responsibility, our obligation, Allah nuqatilahum, that we fight against them in order to stop the evil? Shall we not fight against them? What did the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, yes, go ahead and fight. What's the problem? No, he said, la. Statement of Rasulullah ﷺ, la. Don't do that. Don't raise your weapon against the rulers. Why? Because it can cause bigger problem. Bigger problem. And this is what we have seen throughout the history and even in recent times. What happened in many amongst the Arab countries. Recently, obviously now it has been nearly a decade. What happened in Syria, in other countries, in Algeria, in Tunisia, in Libya. As soon as people stood up, no doubt, as he said, what is wrong, you have to say it is wrong. What is evil, you have to say it is evil. But to stand against the ruler in a way that you cause bigger problem and fitna, then it will destroy the country. And this is something that we have seen with our own eyes and we have experienced. The Syrian, they have been over 10 years, they are still suffering from that fitna, from that problem. But if we, as a Muslim, as a Ummah, if we were to accept the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, that we continue rejecting the evil, it does not mean that, you know, again, as we said, the lowest, on the weakest level of Iman is that you dislike the evil within your heart. The person is still mu'min. The person is still within the fold of Islam. The problem comes, or the danger comes, when you start accepting the evil and you start following the wrongdoers. So Rasulullah sallam said to them, La ma aqamu fikum as-salah. As long as those in authority, they continue establishing, or they allow you to establish your 5 daily prayers, then you must not raise your weapons against them. And meaning that according to the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ and many hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, abandoning the salah completely, this is a sign of disbelief. It's a sign of disbelief. Although we have difference of opinion amongst the scholars that someone who abandons the salah, whether he is within the fold of Islam or such person has left the fold of Islam. If we were to be fair and just, and we study the text, the classical text, we come to know that almost all the companions and all the tabi'un, they were of the opinion that the person who abandons the salah, he has left the fold of Islam. This was the opinion of the majority, vast majority, you can say, amongst the companions. In fact, the companions used to say, we would not consider any sin taking the person out of fold of Islam except abandoning the salah. This was the only obligation that we consider, that if someone abandons it, then the person has left the fold of Islam. And one companion speaks on behalf of the other. He says, this is what we companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to consider. Later, majority of the scholars, later on amongst the mutaakhirun, they are of the opinion that the person who abandoned the salah, as long as he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he believes in Allah's oneness, and he believes in the Prophet ﷺ to be the final messenger of Allah, Azza wa Jal, then the person is still within the fold of Islam, even if he does not pray. If the person does not pray at all. This is the opinion of the majority of the scholars later. But in early generations, amongst the companions, Ridwanullah and the Tabi'un, vast majority of them, they were of the opinion that the person who abandoned the salah, even if the person says that I believe in Allah, I believe in Allah's oneness, I believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to consider such person to be out of the fold of Islam. And this was their strong attachment to the salah, and this was due to the fact that they understood the significance of salah. Unfortunately, amongst us, we do not understand the significance of salah. Salah in reality, the prayer in reality, is one of the greatest favors and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, this is one of the greatest blessings of Allah. If a person is blessed with establishing the 5 daily prayers, then it is a clear sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him tawfiq, because establishing your salah 5 times every day, it is something that is not easy. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as long as those who are in authority, they continue establishing the salah, and establishing the salah was the clear sign of iman, and abandoning the salah was seen as clear sign of disbelief and kufr. And if you were to study this hadith along with the previous one, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the companion Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala said that we gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we promised him that we will continue listening and obeying until we see a clear cut kufr. And this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you do not fight against them until they abandon the salah. So again, this hadith also indicates that abandoning the salah completely, this is a sign of disbelief. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. So, again, as we are attending this class, and the whole lecture is about Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahy al Munkar, every one of us, we should take upon ourselves that anyone within our circle, anyone within our household, anyone amongst our relatives and friends who is not regular in their 5 daily prayers, go out and warn them and advise them. Fulfill your obligation of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar. And unfortunately, we see, as we have mentioned many times, that when it comes to the bigger affairs and the matters of the Ummah, we are happy to discuss the rulers do this. And no doubt, wallahi, it is a clear that there is no Muslim ruler in this age and time who implements the ayat of the Quran, the hadith of Rasulullah without any exception. There is no such a ruler. They do not exist now, no doubt. But my dear brother, before you criticize the rulers, what about your own household, your family, your relatives, your friends? You hang around with those who do not pray. But when it comes to criticizing the rulers, you are in the first row. Subhanallah. What kind of iman and what is the level of your iman? Al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahy al-munkar. You expect the rulers to establish amr bil-ma'roof and nahy al-munkar and establish the salah and implement the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about yourself? Implement the deen of Allah on your body. Implement the deen of Allah within your household. Implement the deen of Allah and try your best to implement the deen of Allah amongst your relatives, amongst your friends. Continue fulfilling your obligation of amr bil-ma'roof and nahy al-munkar. And if every single Muslim were to understand their responsibility and their obligation and their fariḍa and wajib towards Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahy Munkar, we can change the whole Ummah. And we should also bear in mind always that the rulers always come from amongst the Ummah, within the Ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not zalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress anyone. And it is against the justice of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram that He appoints an oppressor ruler upon those who are very pious. We know in the history that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn Khattab, Uthman, Ali ridwanullahi al-ajma'in, Khulafa' al-Rashidun, they ruled according to the deen of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, and the people who lived and the people who were around them, they were also fearing Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. They had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as soon as the problem started, then again in the history proves that as soon as the problem started amongst the awam, amongst ammatun nas, amongst the general masses, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced the just rulers with the oppressors. And this is a fact within the history. So if every one of us, we were to implement the deen of Allah within our own lifestyle, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with just rulers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. Innahu sami'un qareeb. The next hadith is the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen, Zainab bint Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who says, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dakhala alayha fazi'a. That one day the messenger of Allah, the prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, entered upon her while he was in the state of fear. He entered upon her while he, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was frightened and he was in the state of fear. And he said, La ilaha illallah, waylul lil Arab. La ilaha illallah, waylul lil Arab. And there's another version of the hadith which is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. The Prophet salam repeated this 3 times. La ilaha illallah, waylul lil Arab. La ilaha illallah, waylul lil Arab. Woe to the Arab. Destruction for the Arab. Why? Min sharrin qad iqtarab. Because of an evil that has drawn very near. An evil is very near to the Arab and they are going to be destroyed. What happened? He alayhi salatu wasalam said, Futiha al-yawma min radmi ya'juja wa ma'juja mithlu hadi. Today, this much opening And he made the circle with his index finger and with his thumb. He says, this much opening has occurred today in the barrier that has been placed before Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Meaning that barrier has started opening now. And the greater evil will be, the greater opening, then it will be greater evil. And obviously when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out, there will be all evil in this land. They will cause evil and they will appear upon evil people. So, فُتِحَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَعْجُوجَ وَمَعْجُوجَ مِثْلُ هَذِي فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Then Zainab radiallahu ta'ala says, I said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me about something. أَنَهْلِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Is it possible that we, the Muslims, the believers, we are destroyed while we have some people amongst us who are pious? While we have pious and righteous amongst us, are we still going to be destroyed? The Prophet ﷺ said, Na'am, idha kathur al-khabath. Na'am, idha kathur al-khabath. Yes, when wickedness and evil prevails, then yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys even those who are pious and righteous. When there is evil everywhere. And subhanallah, we are living in a time where we see evil around us. And very few amongst us are those who realize the obligation and responsibility of forbidding evil and enjoining the good. Not on a greater level, even on a smaller scale. As he said, within our own household, within the boundaries of our own homes, we see evil and we keep quiet. We do not try to stop the evil. We do not try to enjoin the good to our own siblings, our own children, our own close relatives. We keep quiet. And this is something that is very dangerous, not for the whole ummah, it is dangerous to your iman as well. As we'll come to these kind of ahadith, inshallah, in the coming lectures, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us against this kind of situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all kinds of evil, and may Allah dhil jalali kuram give us tawfiq and ability to realize our obligation and our responsibility of amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. Innahu sami'un qareeb mujib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.